This is Sam. Thank you for visiting TeachBible.org's weekly insight. Let me ask you a question. Are you craving for new beginnings and refreshments these days in your life? There is only one key to it, and discover what it is. The Bible passage is from the book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 17 to 20. There it says, "Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus." End of quote. I want to bring to your attention 4 points from this passage. First of all, human oppositions do not stop God's foretold promises in the scripture. You see, the incarnation of Jesus Christ, his birth, life, death, burial, and resurrection was all foretold in the Old Testament scriptures hundreds of times. All these prophecies regarding Jesus Christ were fulfilled exactly as it was predicted. There is not another book on this planet Earth like the Bible, because the Bible have hundreds and hundreds of prophecies exactly fulfilled as it is predicted. Why don't you find out by yourself this truth by reading the pages of the Bible? This is the reason why the Bible has always been the most read and the best sold book in the past, and even today this is true. Bible is God-inspired and God-originated. It is not like a book produced on this earth by earthly human beings. Peter, in his preaching on the day of Pentecost, says to the thousands of people gathered there, and he said, "Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. However, this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets in the Bible, saying that his Messiah would suffer." The point I want to impress in your heart is this: no human opposition can stop God's promises and purposes given in the Bible. Peter said in another preaching that Jesus was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of other wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. However, God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. It says God gave Jesus to us for our salvation, according to his predetermined and deliberate plan and foreknowledge. However, they, with the help of wicked people, put Jesus to death by nailing him to the cross. However, you see, God raised him from the dead because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on Jesus Christ. What does this mean? If God decrees and appoints something to fulfill in our life, no matter what the ignorance and opposition of people, God is going to make it happen. If someone or something stands in the way to fulfill God's purposes and plans, it is going to fail ultimately. God even uses the enemies, ignorances, and determined oppositions to serve his ultimate purposes. Is this not what happened in the incident of Jesus? Jewish people, and especially the religious leaders among them, opposed and acted against God's decree and purpose. They thought that they would end the movement of God by killing Jesus. They did all they could to stop the plan and purpose of God. However, God raised Jesus from the dead because the death could not hold its grip on him. Therefore, the first point is this: you can grab on the promises of God with no doubt, because if God promised it, it would happen no matter what. No human opposition, plans, enemies, or acts can stop God from his purposes. I'm sure some of you can agree with this point in your personal life experience. People and your friends may have thought your life was gone. They thought you are history. They believed God left you and abandoned you. However, now you are in the church praising God, worshiping and serving the Lord. What happened? No human opposition, from whatever sources it might be from, can stop what God has started in you. He is a God who turns the coin and works in favor of you as he did to Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. You see, you and I are serving the same Lord who raised Jesus from the dead. He is able and powerful to do that in your personal life as well. Don't you agree? Yes. When David was, fleeing from his kingdom by fearing his own son and his team, David might have been thought that is the end of it. Absalom, his son, and his team thought they have already won. However, God turned the coin eventually. David came back to his kingdom and ruled over the kingdom again. Joseph was the victim of his brother's severe jealousy, and they initially tried to kill him, and then they sold him to Egypt as a slave. All people, including his jealous brothers, thought the life and story of Joseph ended. However, God was with Joseph, and he became the prime minister of Egypt, second office to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Let me ask you what you are facing now. If you are a child of God, no matter what happens, no matter what the oppositions and enemies talk about you or do to you, God is the same God today. God is the God of Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, David, and so forth. No stop, no human enemy or no human purpose can stop God's promises in your life. Secondly, repentance is the key that unlocks all of God's blessings in our life. The second point I want to talk to you is this. There is only one key that unlocks our future blessings, and that is repentance. Repentance is the key that unlocks God's favor and blessings in our life. No other thing can or would do this. Peter says to the people that he knows that they acted in ignorance. However, he asked them to repent and then turn to God. You heard it right. There is only one key that unlocks God's favor and blessings, and that is repentance and turning to God. Sometimes God even uses ordinary circumstances, like listening to a message like the one you are listening now, personal sickness or the sickness of someone else in your family, or even natural calamities to bring this truth to your attention. Hundreds of people's houses were destroyed in Houston and Florida in the United States when severe hurricane and flooding happened there. Many people's homes were burned in a fire recently in the state of California when the fire spread over there. Most recently, severe flooding like never occurred took the lives and comforts of hundreds of people in Kerala, India. God in heaven is talking in a loud voice, repent and turn to God. God speaks through all these incidents. Are we listening? Every day, people live an unrepented life around the world. Governments and leaders live unrepented life. The world we live in an unrepented culture. Repentance became an old-fashioned language or word for many people. However, in the olden days and even today, there is only one way to get God's favor and blessing, and that is called repentance. Repent and turn to God. The people, when they heard the preaching of Peter, asked this question to him, "What must we do?" Peter answered and said, "Repent and turn to God." The more we are silent on this wonder-working power of this word, repentance, the more problem we are going to encounter in the coming years of our life. How come preachers are not preaching God's message to repent these days? I don't understand. People need to hear repent and then turn to God. What is the real repentance means? By the way, repentance is not just an emotional experience or just feeling sorry over something. Jesus said this in Matthew 7:13 to 14, that there is a broad and wide gate. Broad and wide is the gate and road that leads to destruction, and many people enter through that gate and travel on that road. It is like a highway and very convenient to walk, and it leads to destruction. However, there is a narrow gate and a narrow road. Small is the gate and narrow is the road, and it leads to life. Also, only few people find it, Jesus said. Listen, in your ignorance, you may have joined with the people who walk on the wide and broad road that many walks. And when you walk in it, you hear a message from God of the heaven, and it tells you the road you walk leads only to destruction. You listen to the preaching or teaching, or you listen to your Bible words that says God loves and wants to save you, and He gave His only Son, Jesus Christ, to save you. It tells of the coming of Jesus Christ into this world and the work of Christ for you. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. It says God does not want you to perish. God cares about you and loves you, and so you can come to Jesus Christ and get saved. When you hear this message, you step out of the broad and wide road that you were walking in, and stepping into the narrow gate, which is Jesus Christ. This is repentance. It means you were going in one road to one direction, and the direction was destruction. Now you turned around and going in another direction, and that direction is life. You took a determined step to turn to God and obey Him and live for Him. This is repentance. You remember the incident of prodigal son. He was going in the way of destruction, went as far as he could away from his loving father's home. And if he continued in that road, he would have been destroyed and ruined for sure. However, God talked to him. He came to his sense and he started walking in the opposite direction, back to his loving father's home. This is repentance. Have you repented? Repentance is needed for Christians and non-Christians. Billy Graham, the greatest evangelist of our time, has said like this once. He said, "The biggest harvest field in the world is the church. Many people go to church but never repented of their sins. Many think that they will go to heaven when they die, and they attend the activities and programs of the church, but they have never been repented and turned from their old ways. They still walk in the wide road that leads to destruction, and Sunday morning they go to church and go through just some feelings and experiences in the church. No real repentance happened. They are walking near or around the narrow road every Sunday, but they never step into the narrow road. What a sad situation, right? Bible says we must repent, and there is no other way to enter into God's kingdom. Jesus himself said, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9, but long-suffering, God is long-suffering toward us. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but that all should come to repentance. Beloved, God was long-suffering toward us. He sent His messengers to us. They preached to us. God's Holy Spirit convicted us many times. God spoke and cried loud through some personal experiences He allowed it to happen. He spoke through the natural calamities. God was long-suffering toward us so far. Why? Because He is not willing that any should perish, but all of us should come to repentance. Do not test His long-suffering anymore, my friend. Come to Him when He calls you in love. Come today and repent and turn to God. Thirdly, listen to supernatural benefits of repentance, the passage says. What are they? Number one, sins are wiped out, erased, and blotted out forever. The first benefit is our sins may be wiped out. If no other good things happened in our life, this is good enough to thank and praise God. God says when we repent and turn to Him, He will wipe out all our sins. It means all sins and wrongdoings that is wrought against you and I will be gone forever. Imagine a white or black board where all your mistakes, sins and wrongdoings listed one by one. The moment you repent and turn to God, call upon the Lord with repentance, God will erase all listed sins and wrongdoings against you. Lord God declared and promised this in the book of Isaiah chapter 43 verse 25. He says, I, even I, am who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. End of quote. Not only He erases your sins and wrongdoings, but He blots out, wipe out, and nothing there to see anymore. Micah 7:18 says this. It says, He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities under His foot. He will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Did you see the Lord will tread our iniquities under His foot? and will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea so that it will never come back again to haunt us. Oh my Lord, this is good enough blessing for you and me. If nothing else happened, this would be good enough. Bible says in Romans 8:1, it says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. End of quote. Listen and reread that passage. It promises you will never be condemned for your sins. No condemnation for those who come to Jesus Christ in repentance. People may, and the court of this world may, but God never condemns for our sins. Devil will try to condemn and remind you the sins so that he can stop your progress in the Lord. However, tell him what his future is and tell him to get out of your way, because God never condemns you for your sins. Remind him God prepared a lake of fire for him and his demons. Use the Bible verses I cited above. Another passage is Psalms 103 verse 12. It says there, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. End of quote. You see, God removed our transgressions, sins and wrongdoings away from us like east is from the west. Do you know east will never meet west, and the west will never meet east? When you repent and turn to God, your sins will never meet you again. Oh, what a blessing. You may say your sin is a big sin, and you may think no one can forgive it and forget it. However, do you know God will never remember it? He removed far away from it so that you will never see it again, and God will never condemn you for your sins. It does not matter big or small. The Bible says God has nailed your sins to the cross where Jesus died, and it all died with Christ and no more alive to blame you. God will never remember nor blame and keep, and he is good in keeping his promises. You know, the book of Psalms chapter 32 says this, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. End of quote. You know, upon repentance and turning to God, you are the most blessed out of many other people in this world. You are far better and wealthier than billionaires and wealthy people, because God, the creator of the universe, is on your side, and he forgave and covered all your sins. You know, not only God will never remember your sins and condemn you, but also upon repentance and turning to God, we become a new creation. Bible says he makes you and I like a brand new creation, as if we never sinned. Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You become a new creation, and all things are passed away. All things become new in your life. I want to talk to you about the fourth point. Time of refreshments comes from the Lord in heaven. You know, it leads us to the next point. It says times of refreshment may come from the Lord. You see, the first result of repentance and turning to God is he will wipe away, he will erase, blot out, remember your sins no more. The second fantastic benefit is this, that the Lord sends you times of refreshment in your life. After the flood of Florida and Houston, many people wished for new refreshments in their partially ruined life. The same is true with the Kerala flood in India. People are in a recovery mode right now. Governments, organizations, people groups, and nations are pouring their help to rebuild the state of Kerala in India. However, do you know all these rebuilding efforts are of course excellent and well, but none of these human efforts are comparable to God's refreshments. When he opens the doors of heaven and sends you the showers of blessings from heaven, that is the real blessing and refreshments. Repentance and turning to God is what causes God's refreshments in your life. A season of refreshment is coming to you. David says in the book of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. End of quote. David says, God restores his soul. All rebuilding and restoration are not going to do much benefit if our spirit and soul is not refreshed by the divine touch and hand of God. David says the Lord restores his soul, not just once, but on an ongoing basis. Restores is a present continuous. It is a present tense. It's an ongoing truth. It is not a one-time event. God loves is an ongoing truth. Sun gives heat is an ongoing truth. It's a simple ongoing truth. God is the one who restores, refreshes our inner being on an ongoing basis. This is a result of the repentance and turning to the Lord. God says in Jeremiah 31:25, I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint. You had a weary and faint heart and soul because of the heaviness in your heart. Not here the Lord promises. He will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint people. Dear one, when God of the universe says he will satisfy the faint, this is going to be a kind of refreshment you never accustomed in the past in your life. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16:17-18, it says, I was glad when Stephanas, Fortunus and Achaeus arrived because they have supplied what was lacking from you, for they refreshed my spirit and yours also. You see, you are going to meet with and fellowship with people who you never dreamed of in your life. You know, God will send people into your life and they are going to come to refresh your spirit. You see, God directly refresh you with his supernatural power, and he is also going to send people in your way to refresh and help you. Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:16, may the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. End of quote. God sent Onesiphorus to Paul to refresh him. Onesiphorus was not ashamed because Paul was in prison. This is what you are going to get from the Lord. Paul says in Philemon 7, it says, your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. End of quote. Do you know God has thousands and thousands of helping hands to refresh you in your need, and he will dispose them faithfully when you need them. I have more references, but do not want to take all. The point is this: the second benefit of repentance and turning to God is going to be the season of refreshments in your life. Beloved, how big and high are the indescribable blessings and refreshments we enjoy here upon repentance and turning to God? However, even though they are showers of perfect and good blessings from the Lord every day in our life, it is only a small appetizer when we compare to the one which is coming very soon in our life. The full course meal, or the fullness of all refreshments, is when God sends Jesus Christ back to this world. This is referring to the second coming of Jesus Christ. The same Bible that promised and prophesied the first coming of Jesus Christ for the solution of our sins prophesied the second coming of Christ to this earth. Two times more prophecies, therefore, the second coming of Christ. If the first coming of Christ fulfilled with pinpoint accuracy, the second coming of Christ would also be fulfilled with no shadow of a doubt. The Bible in our weekly insight passage says, Jesus the Messiah, who was appointed for you, must be in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy scriptures and prophets. When the doors of eternity opens up, the eternity door when that opens up, the holy city that the Lord built will come down out of heaven from God. It is beautiful, like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. You can read about this in the book of Revelation chapter 21. By faith, the faith warriors of the olden days, including Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, lived in tents even in the promised land. They lived like strangers in a foreign land. Why? For they were looking forward to the city with the foundations, whose architect and builder is God. The Bible says on that day, God will put that new building, that new place from heaven, like a beautifully dressed, it will come down from heaven, God's dwelling place. The Bible says on that day, God's dwelling place will be with his people, and he will dwell with them. God will wipe every tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor mourning, nor crying, or pain, for all the old things has passed away. God makes and restores all brand new again. This sin-bound earth with all its curses will be lifted up. God himself affirmed this truth by his statement. Read in Revelations 21:2-5. He says, God said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. End of quote. My dearly beloved, we discussed 4 points about the new beginnings and refreshments. And what is that causes that new beginnings in our life? It is the repentance. When we repent and turn to God, God will blot out our sins forever. He will not remember our sins anymore. He will not condemn us anymore. And in addition to that, God will send a season of refreshments in our life. God's own refreshments he will send in your life. Thank you for listening. May the good Lord bless you. May the love of the Lord and the blessing of the Lord be with you right now and today and forever in your life. May his name be glorified in and through you. Thank you.